It's good to see you this morning, and it's good that you can be here. I want to read from the book of Philippians as we begin our time together. Philippians chapter 2 says this, when talking about Jesus Christ, Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage, but rather he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a human being, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. We've been hearing a lot about the greatness of Jesus in the book of Hebrews in comparison to lots of other different people and different things, how Jesus towers above everyone else in his greatness. And here in the book of Philippians, we hear about how that greatness came through his how he was humble and how he suffered and how he was obedient to God. And we'll be hearing a bit more about that later on. But we're going to worship at the start of our service this morning. We're going to sing together, which is why I'm happily going to mute you. I can't mute anyone.
That's because I haven't done what I meant should have done.
All power has gone.
Hang on, just bear with me.
And
there you go, Kate.
When some sense of excellent. I'm going to mute you all. We're going to sing together. The song, Come People of the Risen King. I'm falling down on the organisation. I didn't ask you to get a pen and paper. Oh. I guess I just assumed that this is what we do, but you should never assume. So if you haven't got a pen and paper and you would like to join in with this very tiny short quiz, a really tiny short one, then please grab one now. The quiz is famous parents and children. So all of these parents and children are famous, and they all went into the same line of work, which most of it is either acting or singing. So I'm going to give you either the parent or the child, depending on who may be most famous or who I feel like giving. And you have to name the famous child or parent of that child or parent. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay, so we're going to start with the first one, which I'm going to give you the name of the child because I think you'll know the name of the parent more than the child, but the name of the child will give you a clue. The child is Colin Hanks.
Oh.
That's just the starter. Colin Hanks. So the parent might be someone fairly famous. Okay, number two, the adult, the father is John Voight. I think that's how you say it, isn't it? He's got a very famous daughter. Oh, should I say his daughter? Give me a clue there. There's a very famous daughter. Okay, number three, the parent, the mother is Goldie Hawn.
Oh, her children are called.
It's tricky. Oh, I haven't muted you, so you don't like to tell people. Not that any of you seem to know. So number four. Oh, who do I give here? It's very simple, much. I'll give you the son, who's Michael Douglas.
Oh.
Are the names escaping you, Mom?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He shouldn't do. My era.
Yeah. Number five, we've got Martin Sheen is the dad. And there's two sons.
Two sons.
I'd like you to name. Yeah. I'm moving on quite swiftly. Sorry about that. But we'll go to number six. I'll name the father, who's Will Smith. And I'd like you to name two of his children who have appeared in films, famous in their own right. Number seven, we're going to go for Billy Ray. I'm not going to give you his surname because that will give away who his daughter is. Billy Ray. Was it the 80s or 90s? He had like a... Yeah, someone's not... Yeah, David's nodding. Quite a hit that was... Anyway, he had more than that, but it was... Anyway. Okay, number eight. Oh, Okay, the daughter is Jolie Richardson. The mother is very famous. Mm. Number nine, we'll go for... Oh, they're both very famous. We'll go for the dad, who's Paul McCartney. Daughter, just want the one daughter. And, oh, yes, I like this one. The dad for number... Are we on number 10?
Yeah.
The dad is Tony Curtis. Yeah. I can't remember now. I'm going to go through the answers. I can't actually remember which part of the family I gave you. So hopefully you've got some answers there. For number one, I think I gave you Colin Hanks. Mm-hmm. Who, yes. Dad, of course, is...
We don't know that we got number nine.
Oh, number nine. Paul McCartney.
Thank you. Lovely.
Okay, so number one was, of course, Tom. Tom Hanks. Okay, and then for number two, I think I gave you John Voight, who's... Daughter is, of course, Angelina Jolie.
Yeah. Oh, very good.
Yes. For number three, did I give you Goldie Hawn?
Yeah, yeah.
So her daughter is Kate Hudson. For number four, I think I might have given you Michael Douglas.
Douglas, I've realised.
Douglas, yeah, that's his dad. Oh. I did give you Martin Sheen for number five, whose sons are Charlie Sheen and Emilio Estevez.
Oh!
Number six, I gave you Will Smith, didn't I?
Yeah.
And he's father to Jaden Smith and Willow Smith.
I got Willow.
No, did you? I got Jaden when I was trying to think.
Didn't go.
Between us, John, we'd have made a good team.
Yeah.
Number seven, I gave you Billy Ray Cyrus, whose daughter's Miley.
Miley Cyrus.
Yeah. Number eight, I gave you Jolie Richardson, whose mother is, of course, Vanessa Redgrave.
Redgrave, yeah.
For number nine, I gave you Paul McCartney. Of course, it is Stella. I'd quite like to have been called Stella, Mom. Stella.
Sorry.
You're
nearly called Stephen.
Well, you know. Number 10, I gave you Tony Curtis, and yeah. I do believe his daughter's Jamie Lee Curtis.
Jamie Lee Curtis, yeah.
Tot up your answers.
Do you know who the mother was?
Six. Yes, it was.
Janet Lee, I think.
No, I can't remember. Who was it?
Janet Lee.
Oh, yes.
Hence the
name.
Okay, who got 10 out of 10? Oh, really? I thought that one was quite easy for one of my quizzes. Nine?
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Very good. Well done. Okay.
Yeah. Anyone? Eight? Seven?
Six? Yeah, seven. Seven.
Six.
Five?
Six.
Four. Mm-hmm. Three?
Five.
How many?
Two. One. It's nearly your birthday. You did very well in that. Well, we're thinking about, obviously, that was a quiz about famous parents, famous children. And it will link in with what we're saying. We're thinking about things down through families. And whether everything's passed down or whether things aren't always passed down through families. I'm going to mute you because Emma is going to read our passage this morning as we carry on looking at the book of Hebrews. We're going for Hebrews 5, verses 1 to 10.
Okay. Okay, Hebrews 5, starting at verse 1. Every high priest is selected from among men and is appointed to represent them in matters related to God, to offer gifts and sacrifices for sins. He is able to deal gently with those who are ignorant and going astray, since he himself is subject to weakness. This is why he has to offer sacrifices for his own sins, as well as for the sins of the people. No one takes his honour upon himself. He must be called by God, just as Aaron was. So Christ also did not take upon himself the glory of becoming a high priest, But God said to him, "You are my son. Today I have become your father." And he says in another place, "You are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek." During the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with loud cries and tears to the one who could save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverent submission. Although he was a son, he learned obedience from what he suffered. And once made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him, and was designated by God to be the high priest in the order of Melchizedek.
Thank you very much, Emma. I failed to tell you that there were some wonderful words in there.
Yes.
Right. I've got a bit of a challenge for you, as always. If you were to be a priest and you could design your own garment that you wore, what would it be like? There's a challenge. So you can design it on a bit of paper, or you could, you know, find items in your house that you could adorn yourself with, or you could simply put ideas down or draw a picture. So there's your challenge. If you were to be a priest, what would your garments look like? Your items of clothing. There you go. There's your challenge. Well, last week we talked a little bit about Jesus as the great high priest, and we're going to follow on a bit with that today. There's quite a few chapters that follow that talk about priests and priesthood, and this one goes in a bit more detail about priests. I mentioned last week that I don't know a lot about priests, and that when I think about priests, my main association is mysterious fictional characters from the 1980s. Many of them were dab hands at detective work, so priest by day, detective by night. For me, they were people who spent the majority of their lives sitting in confession boxes, listening to the failings and misfortunes of the general public. And fortuitously for most of them, they also listened to the confessions of the killer they were attempting to track down. They were priests who wore robes, occasionally strange hats, fancy rings, things like that. They walked slowly and they were very, very serious, and they had an air of mystery and intrigue. They were, of course, wise and respected, both as priests and as detectives, interestingly, but they never really had an ordinary life. This is what I grew up knowing about priests, which probably actually says more about my childhood TV watching than anything else. But it did create this somewhat strange view of these people of God, people I found it very hard to relate to and very difficult to understand. Now, over more recent years, of course, the idea of priesthood, especially Catholic priesthood, has become quite tainted, not by awful detective programs, but by real life news of abuse and mistrust, where the mystery of priesthood that I grew up with has been shown in some cases to hide terrible acts and awful abuse, creating mistrust for a role that for years has been seen as slightly above the lives of ordinary humans. Whereas actually, as we heard last week, and as we see in further detail in our passage today, the role of priesthood, as described in the Bible, was not only of great importance among the people of God, but also it was made up of ordinary human beings. In the Old Testament, priests originated from the tribe of Levi, one of the 12 tribes of Israel that came from the 12 sons of Jacob. Most of the tribes of Israel made their living out of farming land and setting up communities and living off this land. But the tribe of Levi had a different, more specific role. Their role was to look after the temple of God. They were to make sure that everything was right, things like opening and closing the main gates, standing guard to make sure everything was looked after, playing music within the temple of God. They do various things that enabled the temple to be God's temple. And when the temple was mobile, or if you like, when it was the tabernacle in the wilderness that moved around from place to place, their job was to transport it in a right and proper manner. But this was not their only role, because within the tribe of Levi, there were also the descendants of Aaron. Aaron, of course, was the brother of Moses and the first high priest of the people of God. And his descendants, although part of the Levi tribe, had a more specific role. Their role was to be what we would refer to today as priests. Now, far from being amateur sleuths or headlines across a paper, as we mentioned last week, their role was mainly to be intermediaries between people and God. And because of this, their role was twofold. There was a liturgical role, what people might say was a liturgical role, where they were to offer sacrifices and prayers before God. And there was a pastoral role, where they were to care for the people of God themselves. They were first and foremost ordinary people of God from one of the tribes of Israel. But they were also different because they were priests through birth. It was a role passed on from generation to generation. So that if you were a descendant of Aaron from the tribe of Levi, you became a priest. This was the natural progression for those who were born into this tribe. But there was one exception, and that exception was the role of high priest, who, although, as it says here in our passage today, was selected from among the people, and is appointed to represent them in matters related to God, to offer gifts and sacrifices for sins. Or if you like, although they were appointed to perform the same role as other priests, they were also given the added responsibility of entering the most holy of holies on the Day of Atonement, once a year, to offer a sacrifice for all the people of God before God himself. And because of this, the role of high priest, the role that this person kept until they died, was not a hereditary role. It was a chosen role given to that person, the person that God chose and conveyed his authority to. Or as it says here in our passage today, no one takes this honour on himself, but he received it when called by God, just as Aaron was. Do you know, for some reason, when I was reading this, it reminded me of the shop Build-A-Bear. I don't know whether anyone's ever been to Build-A-Bear. There will be people sitting here going, I would never, ever go to Build-A-Bear. What a terrible shop. And there'll be people sitting here going, I used to think that, but then I had children and I ended up in Build-A-Bear quite a lot. I'm in the latter category. And we've been Build-A-Bear quite a few times. And it's a great place. There are lots of, basically you go in and there's lots of boxes full of like empty animals, toys. And what you do is you pick one and you take it to this person who's sitting next to a machine ready to stuff it. But that's not the only thing you do. You don't just stuff this bear. You then pick out a heart for the bear or whatever animal you've chosen. And you can do a little bit of a sort of dance with it, holding it up in the air, saying some wishes and things. When our boys were given the heart, they just went, no, just put it in the bear. There was no dancing doing. So then you put your heart in and then you get your bear stuffed and then it's given to you. And the thing that amazes me about Build-A-Bear is that when you're looking through all the boxes to find your Build-A-Bear, they're all exactly the same. So you have like a box of bears, you have a box of bears dressed in, you know, costumes, you have a box of bears who are a different colour. They're all the same. And when we went in, the boys were really into Pikachu and there was a box of Pikachus. And so they pick out a Pikachu and they go and do the heart thing and get it stuffed. And what made me think about this is that what makes the Pikachu you have different from every other Pikachu is not that it's any different from all the ones you pick out, but it's because it's chosen by you. It's your Pikachu. You picked out, you chose it, you put the heart in and it was stuffed for you. And for that reason, we have two identical Pikachus in our house. One is special because James chose it, and one is special because Joshua chose it. And you know, in a similar way, the Levitical priest and the high priest were very much the same. But what made the high priest different from all the other priests was not that they were born into the right family or had the abilities passed down to them, not that they were special in and of themselves, but that they had been chosen. They've been picked out by God himself to learn the role of high priest. And therefore, they were given the authority of God to mediate and care for those God had created. And you know, the most amazing thing about this difficult to understand history of priesthood that I've just skimmed over is not that over time God chose and accepted humans as mediators between us and him, although that is quite amazing, but that eventually Jesus became the culmination of this priesthood. He became our great high priest. And in becoming the great high priest who sits in the heavens, he took on this role not because he was the Son of God, and that's why he did it, not because he automatically had the right to become our great high priest, not because he thought it was a good idea and he had the abilities, but rather because just like every other high priest before him, he was chosen. He was chosen by God, his Father, from among the people he had been born to save. And because of this, he was given authority to become the one by which we enter the Holy of Holies day after day after day. But, you know, even though Jesus was chosen to become our great high priest and given authority to carry out this role, he didn't automatically take up this role just like that. Instead, he had to walk the path of pain and suffering to take up this role. He, like everyone else, had to learn. He had to learn what it was to take up the role of high priest that God had given him. And he had to learn it by going through the pain that he suffered. He learned it by learning what it was to care for the world, by learning what it took to rescue us from our mess, by learning what it was to suffer the sorrow and pain of the world. He had to learn what it was to submit to God and be obedient even in his darkest moments. Which is why when he came to the Garden of Gethsemane, when he came to that seminal moment on earth, or as it says in this passage in Hebrews, when he offered up prayers and petitions with fervent cries and tears to the one who could save him from death, and God in effect said no, Jesus, instead of taking what was his right, instead of sidestepping this path of pain that would lead to priesthood, he learnt obedience in becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. So that by fulfilling his mission, not only did he bring to a climax the role of great high priest, the one who mediates and cares, but he also made redundant the priestly progression of the Jewish temple that had become so twisted and so tainted and so unrepresentative of God that it was preventing people from accessing the throne of grace. And so through obedience and sacrifice rather than privilege, Jesus became a priest in the order of Melchizedek, or to put it more simply, because no one understands what that means, he became a priest from a new order, one that opened up a new way for all people to enter the grace of God himself. Do you know, when I was younger, I used to play a lot of sports, and my dad used to take me to play sports. He took me to learn how to play squash and to learn how to play cricket and to learn how to play tennis. He never took me to learn how to play football because he didn't really like football. But all the other sports, he took me to learn how to play. And when I started playing with Dad and he was teaching me how to play, he didn't take it easy, like just dink a shot over the net. He used to hit the ball really, really hard, like really smack it down into the court. And when we played squash, he'd really smack the ball about. And when we played cricket, he'd really bowl fast. And at first I used to get really mad because I think, why is he doing this? I'm his daughter. He shouldn't be like hitting things really hard at me. But then I realised that my dad was trying to teach me how to play these sports. And he wouldn't teach me how to play if he took it easy on me just because I was his daughter. I realised that I would only learn if I experienced what it was to face the hard balls and to learn to deal with them in the right way. And I'm really glad he did that, because now I can play a little bit and I can enjoy it. And, you know, in a similar way, even though that example's quite lame in comparison to what Jesus did, you know, this is the path that Jesus took here on earth, that on his way to taking up the role of great high priest, he took the path of pain and he took the path of suffering. He took the hard balls, not because God made him or because it seemed like a good idea at the time, but because this was the only way to open up the Holy of Holies to all people. And Jesus chose to master it by walking obediently along this road. And, you know, as we read this passage today, as we struggle with the difficult concepts of and all the strange names and the strange words in this passage, it would be easy for us to bypass understanding these words for something that seems much easier and maybe more relevant to our lives. And yet if we do, we miss out on a vital element of walking with God, because as followers of Jesus, as disciples of the Son of God, as a royal priesthood ourselves, we are called to walk the way of Jesus, not to seek to bypass the pain and suffering that comes with discipleship because it's hard, and not to try and bring our own solutions to these problems that we face, but instead, just as Jesus did in all his humanness, to practice obedience and to seek to live a life of submission to God, knowing that as we do this, as we follow this path that can sometimes be really hard, not only can we know we have a great high priest who's been tempted in every way just as we are, yet did not sin, we can also know that we walk hand in hand with a great high priest who knows how very hard it is to live obediently, but who, instead of choosing to bypass this, because of privilege. He chose to submit to God. And if we do the same, we too can show this new path that people can walk down, one which offers those around the insight of what the hard work of grace and love truly looks like. And that it's not privilege that allows us to get to God, but it's obedience and submission. Let's spend a moment as we pray together. Well, as we come to the end of our more formal time together, a bit more, we're going to sing an old classic, Jesus is King and I Will Extol Him. So I'm going to mute you all. Well, as we go from here into our various breakout groups or wherever we're going to go in a minute, may we know God's love surrounding us. May we know God's grace abounding. And may we know that we walk hand in hand with our great high priest, who knows the struggles of obedience and submission, but who can help us to live that way each day. Amen.